This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
This morning's reading is from Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 4, and then verse 73. Now, when the wall had been built, and I had set up the doors, and the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many. And I said to them, "Let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they are still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their own homes." The city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had been rebuilt. So the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, some of the people, the temple servants, and all Israel lived in their towns. And when the seventh month had come, the people of Israel were in their towns. Amen.
Over this past year, one of the most popular taglines in adverts has been "Live your best life." Fitbit watches, Honda cars, and even Direct Line Insurance have all used this strapline to sell their products and to convince you to buy their products. With the restrictions that we're living with, it seems impossible at present to live our best life. And it just seems so elusive. Can a car, can an insurance policy, can even a watch really make the difference that we need? Nearly 3,000 years ago, when Nehemiah was managing the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem after it was left in ruin by the Babylonians and only the poorest of the poor remained within the city, Nehemiah tries to ensure that he establishes in that city a community that will live their best life. So what we find here in chapter 7 is that once they finished building the city walls and the doors were set in place, that wasn't it. Everybody didn't pack up and go home and just get on with leading their life. Nehemiah would lead the people in how they would live within these city walls or near the security of these city walls. How they would be a community of God's people even within the Persian Empire. Restricted as they were, they could still live their best life with God. Now, I know Nehemiah is specifically dealing with an ancient city. It's the time of the Iron Age. But what we need as people to flourish, to live well, has not changed. It hasn't changed in 3,000 years. Nehemiah understood it wasn't enough to have walls and gates. The people needed to be built up. We need to be strengthened and fortified and equipped to live life and live it well. They needed to be, the people in Jerusalem needed to be as confident and as secure as the huge, thick, secure and confident walls that they were surrounded by. The first thing that Nehemiah did was he appointed gatekeepers. And here's an important thing to remember about gatekeepers. A gate is only as good as the character of the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper had to be trustworthy and honest and wise. They couldn't be somebody who was easily bribed. They managed who and what goes in and through the city. They couldn't sleep on the job, fall asleep on the job. And they couldn't be easily influenced by the wrong people and the wrong things. If that was the case, then you're in trouble. A gate is only as good as the character of the gatekeeper. Who are the gatekeepers? 3,000 years later, who are we talking about here? Who should we be thinking about? The gatekeepers are men and women willing to lead the care and protection of God's people. The gatekeepers are your elders. They're your leaders in small groups. The leaders of JAM, our Sunday morning kids program, Connect and Refuge, our youth programs, leaders in the committee, people who are willing to be committed to the things of God, who are prayerful, who are willing to share the teachings of God and put those teachings in practice publicly for all to see. And they're willing to use their God-given time and God-given gifts to serve others. The gatekeepers among us, though, are also parents. Parents who have made baptismal vows of how they will bring up their child, ensuring they have every opportunity within the family home and within the church family to learn about God, to encounter God. Parents who offer a care and protection that is under the care and protection of God. Gatekeepers are present among us. Nehemiah chooses the gatekeepers from among those who lived within Jerusalem because he knew they would be the most committed and he knew they would be present. Present among the people. Malone, you will know who your gatekeepers are because they will be present among you. They will be leading and serving, willing to pray for you or pray with you, visit, calling, giving, being present above and beyond what you would expect. God calls gatekeepers to protect, to guard, to nurture those God has placed under their care. They ensure that there's every opportunity to meet with God, know God more, and live the best life with God. And remind you that you can live the best life with God. On one occasion, Jesus said, "I am the gate." He's basically saying there, "I'm the gatekeeper. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely, and they will find good pasture." In other words, entrust your lives into the hands of Jesus, into his care. And like sheep enjoy the best life and the care and the protection of the shepherd, counting the sheep going in and out every day and every night of the sheep gate, so Jesus is our shepherd, our gatekeeper, and he will lead us every day to enjoy the best life. So we take seriously our role as gatekeepers, because if you're a gatekeeper, you're invited to be a gatekeeper by Jesus, who is the gatekeeper. Back in the ancient Psalms, in Psalm 127, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." We are only as strong as our gatekeepers. And our gatekeepers are only as strong as the character that they form around the gatekeeper, Jesus Christ. Gatekeepers are so important, and their importance lies in their character. Malone, we need to pray for our gatekeepers, that they remain focused on Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God, encouraged, committed, strong, especially through these difficult times. I want to assure you that as your teaching elder in the Kirk session that's made up of all the other ruling elders, we have wrestled with all sorts of ideas to try and ensure that we keep ourselves together as a community of God's people. But better still, that we make ourselves known as a community of God's people in this part of Belfast. Pray for your gatekeepers, all of them. Because we pray for you, that our faith remains through these difficult times. And Malone, we need more gatekeepers. Nehemiah tells us in chapter 11, verse 9, that there were 172 gatekeepers. There weren't that many gates. But Nehemiah wanted to ensure the people were adequately protected and they were committed to not letting their guard down. Staying united, maintaining their presence as the people of God within the Persian Empire. Gatekeepers are essential for fortifying the people of God to live their best life. Pray for your gatekeepers. The other thing Nehemiah did was he appointed the singers and the Levites. According to Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 67, he appointed 245 men and women singers to lead the people in their spiritual worship of God through prayer and praise. Now, why was singing so important? Now, why do we need singers to build up the community of God? I mean, why do we sing together when we gather together to worship God? Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. There in the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, or tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" All those years they'd hung up their harps. All those years they couldn't bring themselves to sing praises to God. They hadn't sung because they'd been in exile, captive in Babylon, but they were home now. They were home now. And Nehemiah was inviting them once again to sing to God. Sometimes when it's Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday and life is busy and you're fraught and your time's demanded here and you're needed there and you're distracted by this and you're distracted by that, it's difficult to, and maybe even nearly impossible, to bring yourself to sing to God. But when you set aside this time, it's an invitation now to remember who God is and who he is or can be in your life, and sing to him. And that's what Nehemiah was doing. Singing is powerful. This past year, we watched as Italians in Milan went out onto their balconies during lockdown and sang arias together. In London this year, the portable priest Pat Allerton. He played Amazing Grace through his amplifiers in the streets of Notting Hill, and one by one, people came out of their front doors or leaned out their windows and joined in singing this powerful song of freedom. Grown men get emotional at football matches when they sing their national anthem, or Stand Up for the Ulster Men, or Sweet Caroline. Singing is powerful. Psychologists have discovered that when you talk, you use one side of your brain. But when you sing, you use both sides of your brain. It can boost our mood, release endorphins, boost our immune system, and all this is enhanced apparently even more whenever we sing with others. Other hormones are released. Do you know, Nehemiah maybe in chapter 7 here didn't know the science behind singing, its effect upon us physically and mentally. However, that was in God's wisdom whenever he made us and created us. But what Nehemiah did know was that singing is powerful, and it's power to build up a community, to unite in the voices, to create a deep connectedness with each other when we join our voices together. This is one reason why we sing together when we worship God together. But there's another reason. Nehemiah enabled the people to sing again songs, reminding them of God's greatness and God's goodness and God's faithfulness, and leading the people in hearts full of thankfulness to who God is. Samson's not the only one who can forget where his strength comes from. We can all forget it. We all do. I know I do. And we need to be reminded. When we sing songs that give us words to express how we're feeling when we struggle, share our feelings, our knowledge, an experience of God, it does something powerful spiritually when we sing. It fortifies us, it strengthens our spirit. And the reason I feel confidence of this is if you go to the book of Revelation, there are at least 15 songs in the book of Revelation. And this is a book that John in his, has this vision, and he describes the spiritual reality throughout history and eternity. He gives us an insider's view on it from this vision he's received. But what often powers the people of God is when they come together to sing together and remind themselves who God is. And something powerful happens as a result in the spiritual realm, according to the book of Revelation. Many victories are won, and the enemy is defeated when we join our voices together to praise God. And something powerful happens in each of us. Our faith grows and is increased. We're fortified when we sing out with our own voices praises to God. And singing lingers. Singing lingers with us. Do you ever find yourself, whenever you're making your Sunday lunch, humming a song that you've then sung that morning? And sometimes it may be the kids' song and you haven't a clue what the words are, but you're just humming away to it. Because singing is powerful, it lingers in us. We can take our worship songs home with us into the kitchen. In verse 73, it says, they left the city through the gates, out into their homes in the towns in the region of Judea that surrounded the city. They took their singing and the words that exalted God into their homes, their fields, their communities, and it enriched their lives. It brought a blessing. Something that can bring the best life, the good life of God, into our lives. The final thing Nehemiah did to build up the people, to strengthen them, to give them confidence and hope, was to appoint Levites. Now, Levites were responsible for teaching God's law. Nehemiah built the walls, but that wasn't enough. He knew God's people, if they were to live their best life, live it God's way, according to God's law, the truth, they needed to be built up mentally. They needed to know what God was saying to them of how they were to live. He wanted them to experience and enjoy more than just the safety of the walls. He wanted them to experience and enjoy the safety of God through living obediently according to God's laws. In sport, we have rules of the game. And the rules of the game are there to help players play safely, play fairly, and also enjoy the game. And ultimately to give the players a sense of achievement, whether they've won or lost, if they played well and they played within the rules, they should be proud of how they have played. That sense of achievement. And the rules are there to bring order, to try and discourage cheating. So no professional fouls. And others want to ensure that they know that others aren't going to gain an unfair advantage. I mean, imagine playing a game, rugby, hockey, football, without any rules. It would just be chaos, and those who'd be playing wouldn't enjoy it. And more so, it would become dangerous. Without rules, it would be dangerous. And it's the same in life. If there's no law enforcement, society would just become chaotic and it would become dangerous. God has given us his commands and the teachings of Jesus not to restrict you, not to frustrate you or oppress you, but to liberate you to enjoy the best life. God's word speaks and touches into every aspect of life, friendship, possessions, relationships, sex, money, business, the environment, holidays, rest, health, fitness, all so we can know and experience and enjoy the best life. There's nothing in God's word that he has missed out that we need. Nothing. Jesus once said, "If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples." We need to take that seriously. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How much do we take for granted the Bible sitting in our homes, left untouched, unread? And we wonder why we struggle to believe, to trust God, to have faith, to know how to live this Christian life, to know what God wants, how he wants us to live. But we'll rarely know this if we rarely open the book and read his word and know what he has to say. Some people say they're too busy. Others say they've got other priorities. Some claim they just don't understand, and that's why they don't read. Yet because of these excuses and more, we don't live the best life. We hurt others. We make mistakes. We make poor decisions. We hurt ourselves. We're rarely satisfied. Nehemiah knew that God had spoken, and that God's word was the best word. And he knew the people needed to hear this. So when choosing whether or not we obey God's commands, let me encourage you to pay attention to these words that the Apostle Paul wrote to Nehemiah. He said, to Timothy. He said, "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." It's true, isn't it? Nobody likes it when a cheater is crowned. Indeed, their crown should be removed from them. But when somebody has played by the rules, has competed by the rules, has lived by the rules, then they deserve the crown. They've earned the crown. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. How much more would you enjoy life? Be satisfied and confident if you gave some attention to God's ways, his way of living. When we play sport, whether we win or lose, when we've played by the rules, you have a profound sense of achievement and of reward, and it's the same whenever you live for God. Yes, it will require effort. Yes, it will require discipline. Yes, it will require sacrifice from you. But yes, it will be worth it. Gatekeepers, singers, Levites. Nehemiah ensured 3,000 years ago everything was there for God's people to live the best life. And today we are God's people, his church. He calls us to worship him wherever we are, whatever your circumstances, and with those who are the equivalent today of the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites, so we can live confidently that best life that God invites us to live. Let's take a moment now in prayer and come before God, bearing that all in mind. Where you are, just close your eyes. And let's come before God in prayer. And maybe it's an opportunity for you to recommit your life to God. You've tried it your way, and now you need to try it God's way. Or maybe you've been trying it God's way, but only half-heartedly. And this is an opportunity to admit, God, I need you to live my best life. In the silence, speak with God now. Father God, you ensured that Nehemiah and his people were fully equipped to live the best life. And within that, you gave them gatekeepers and singers and Levites. Just some of what you provided to enable them to live that life. Father God, equip us to live the best life with you. To live for you, to trust in you, to have faith in you every day, God, and not to forget where our strength comes from. And when we feel weak or weakened, that we look to you to fortify us, that your Spirit would come and fill us afresh, strengthening us for what is needed. God, we are your people. Equip us, God, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another week that has passed in which you've protected us and you've looked after us and you've provided for our every need. We know in this time of uncertainty that you are here for us, that you are our anchor amidst all the storms. And we know, Lord, that no matter how uncertain life is, and no matter how much we are knocked back by the impact of COVID, by lockdown, by the uncertainty of our government, we know, Lord, that you are in control of this entire situation. We pray this time for our church in Malone, and we know that unfortunately we won't be able to meet together for the next few weeks. But we pray, Lord, that every one of our members know your love and your support and your care at this time, that they know that even though we're not together as a church family, that we're there for one another, we're thinking and praying for one another, and we're there looking after one another. We pray for our children at this difficult time. Although schools are open, we know it's a very different time and a very different childhood at the moment than what we live through. And for that, Lord, we pray for our children, that they know your mercy and your grace and your protection upon them. We pray lastly for our country and for the entire United Kingdom, to our Republic of Ireland, that at this time in these islands we're facing a battle and an evil and a virus that knows no bounds for who you are, where you're from, that it's attacking each and every one of us in its own way. We pray for unity in our country, unity across the United Kingdom politically, that we make the decisions and our political leaders make the decisions that is right for all the people in the country, to look after them and keep them safe. And we lastly pray, Lord, for the NHS and all the workers and the key workers and doctors and nurses who are looking after us, who are working under pressure day and daily. We pray for all of them that they'll know your mercy and your care and your love at this time. Thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. And we look forward to your protection, your help in another week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.